Blog Talk Radio.
Chaos Flight Controllers, gonna go for landing. Retro.
Go.
Rhino.
Go.
Guidance.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Econ.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom, we're go for landing.
You are tuning in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Maria Wilson-Duff. Join us as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and so much more. Taking the time to tune into another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm joined tonight by my co-host, psychic medium Sherry. I should have changed the intro. I forgot. I do apologize, Sherry, but we'll get that changed out because you are back.
I am, Jason. I'm really excited to be back, and it's like being part of the family, like we talked about before we were going on air. And, you know, just you and I think you and I were going through the same thing where we were just going at it every week, and we just needed a break. Sometimes, you know, you just need a break and come back refreshed. I was on tour pretty heavily at that time, too, so... You know, it was really good to be able to go and come back and have a fresh view of everything.
Well, we're certainly glad to come back. You've been co-hosting this show outside of this short hiatus for 5 full years, something in the neighborhood, I don't know, 250 episodes, 200, something along those lines. And over the years, you've got us outstanding guests to come on the show and talk about their experiences and stuff, but we've kind of deliberately stepped away from getting guests because we just like to chat, and so we're kind of going more that direction. But I also want to add that, you know, honestly, I think all three of us, Maria, myself, and Sherry, are kind of getting a little burned out on the paranormal. I mean, there's only so much you can talk about, and after 300 episodes, we've literally talked about everything multiple times. Wouldn't you agree, Sherry?
Totally. And, you know, I think that when I talked to Maria the other day, or yesterday I talked to her, we were FaceTiming each other, I don't think she gets tired of the paranormal, personally. I really don't. She understood how I felt. But, you know, it's like you and I, we both, you know, you've been an investigator, I've been a paranormal consultant, I'm in the paranormal being a medium, but, you know, you can only, after a while, you know, you can only talk about the dark stuff for so long, and it's like a different face in a different place. And I'm going to say this, that last night, and we've got Joe Walling from British Columbia paranormal team. And he's taking a hiatus, too, from investigating. And he says hello to you, by the way. But we were talking about the same thing. And he says, you know what? He goes, I feel the same way as you do. He says, after a while, you get tired of hearing about the same EVPs or Oculus or, you know, the same different locations. But, you know, it's just he said the same thing. He agreed that, you know, it's just a different place and a different face. Absolutely.
Now, I don't know if you are aware of this, Sherry, because you, due to your hiatus, but I've been doing paranormal investigations on all my days off, dealing with everything from wraiths to banshees to demons. Were you aware of that? In fact, I did an investigation today.
No, not
okay.
At all. Really? Wow.
Well, okay, let me just add some information to that. That is absolutely correct, what I just said. However, it's virtual reality. It's in virtual reality. So I don't have to leave the comfort of my home.
It's a game. It's a video game you're talking about.
Yes, and I streamed it a couple times to our Facebook page, and you know, sometimes I die, sometimes I don't. But the ghosts, banshees, wraiths, mares, poltergeists, they're very aggressive in my virtual investigations. And about this last week, if, you know, virtual reality investigations, highly entertaining. But don't have heart problems, because you might freak out.
Are you are you coming out ahead on these investigations?
I'm doing excellent on the investigations. I just did two investigations today and identified what types of spirits we were dealing with. So, hey, I'm a winner.
Wow. I didn't know they had a video game about that. That is so cool.
It's brand new, and it's just like an investigation. You have all the meters and stuff like that, and sometimes there's Ouija boards in the house, and you can communicate with the Ouija board. It's called Phasmophobia.
Oh, wow. I have to tell my husband about that. Definitely see if he wants to check it out. So what's going on in the news? I mean, is there anything that you want to talk about that's going on in the news? And I'm going to tell you, like I said earlier before we were live on air, it's interesting how, you know, you go on Facebook and they're really pushing in how you're voting. There's a lot of lot of manipulation and influence. Are you voting yet? Or if you are voting, you know, they're throwing all these flashes of different advertisements and things. How about you, Jason? Are you noticing that too?
Well, I just registered to vote yesterday, and I personally think voting is a total scam. And, you know, the world is run by the Illuminati, some people in some Bavarian castle somewhere. And I also see, what's the point of voting? I don't know a lot about voting, but if you have the Electoral College, what's the point? What if the popular vote doesn't really matter so much, then... You know, I'm more of the conspiracy end, where it's all arranged. It's a lot easier to control however many people there are in the Electoral College, 270-something, whatever, versus 350 million people. Again, I could be just talking out of my ass right now because I don't know much about it. But I think it's all one big sham nationally. Of course, local voting's different. But on a national level, I think it's just one big conspiracy, and I'm kind of sick of it. The reason I registered to vote was because it was a personal request of somebody for me to do that, and that individual has done a lot for me, so I decided I would follow through on it. The other thing I don't like about registering to vote is, at some point I heard that when you get summons to do jury duty, that's kind of where they pull your name from, is your voter registration, or that's how they know you exist. And I really don't have, I've got so much going on right now, I don't need to get subpoenas for court. And but I'm gonna do it.
Good for you. Well, you know, you can always pull out of it if you decide you don't want to vote. You could, and you're gonna get people saying, what's the matter with you? Why don't you vote? You should be voting. You know, that's a personal choice, to be honest with you. I don't think that, you know, people should be judging you whether you're going to vote or not. It's nobody else. Honestly, this is what I feel. You and I are on the same page. I feel the same way as you do. But it's really nobody else's business whether you vote or not and who you vote for, unless you allow it to be.
There's so much drama. I mean, I just read a news story today of some kid. The teacher asked, I don't know, 6th, 7th grade, who do you look up to? And the kid said, Donald Trump. And it was one of these, you know, virtual meetings with the class and the students and the teacher. And I guess the teacher just went off the rails when he said that. And I'm just like, why can't somebody look up to him? There's just this love and hate. And it's so ridiculous. I don't even know what to say. Honestly,
It's like picking Ford and Chevy. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, that's what I see as Republicans and Democrats. I'm neither one, personally, but you know, it's like you get your choice. You know, who's going to win, Ford or Chevy? You don't get a choice.
Yeah, my personal impression of Donald Trump is I think he's kind of a moron. But is he a bad person? I don't know. I don't judge people unless I meet them personally. Maybe he's super smart. I have no idea. But I will say I watched the video of the highlights of the debate. And, you know, the vibe I got from Biden, I just don't get a good vibe from him either. So this is – I always thought it's a good idea to stay neutral. It's the safe route. And so I'm neutral with it. I really don't have an opinion. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm. I didn't watch it at all personally. So I was doing a reading, so I didn't – and I could care less, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I just don't care. They're both a mouthpiece. They're puppets.
Do you want a career politician who's probably corrupt like all politicians or most politicians, or do you want a business person that's probably corrupted by money? I mean, they're not great choices.
I don't want neither one of them, to be honest with you.
I'll tell you what, I'll run for president and I'll make a difference. We'll make America fantastic again.
Yeah, exactly. You probably would too.
If I was running the country, I would reduce military spending. I would reduce domestic surveillance of the citizens. I would get rid of the Department of Homeland Security. Probably CSA, the CIA, the FBI. I would make this less of a police state, and I would take all those billions and billions of dollars from that and put it into feeding people that can't put food on their table at night, you know, because that happens in America. A lot of people can't afford to eat, and I would also make healthcare not ridiculously expensive. When you go to the ER because you have a laceration, you end up getting a $2,000 bill. You know, that's what I would do, but nope, we're a military, we have a huge military industrial complex, and we're just about exerting our influence and power on the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's the way they, you know, it's like, yeah, you have a good point, and I'm just thinking when you're talking about that, Jason, it's like when you're saying when you have a laceration and knock on wood and literally pray to our creator, we don't get in that situation or have to go in emergency or doctors. But, you know, when you think about you have to pay an arm and a leg, you know, just because you have insurance, yeah, everybody, I'm sorry, but when you have insurance, a lot of times people go for every little thing. But if you had to pay out of pocket, you think twice about, is it really affecting? Is it adding value for you going to the doctor? Are you taking a proactive approach to stop finding out what's wrong with you when you have, you know, when you have symptoms? So, you know, it's just crazy, but I don't see that we should have to pay an arm and a leg and go into debt because you can't pay, or if you don't have money, you don't have insurance. I think that's wrong.
Absolutely. I just went to the ER. I got some basic labs, which, cost $100 maybe, and an x-ray, and 2 hours in the ER, and the bill's $2,000. Anytime I've gone to the ER, it's $2,000 or more. It's criminal is what it is. It is ridiculous. If I ever have to have an expensive procedure, I'll go to India and pay like $79 that bypass surgery or whatever, you know, versus paying $50,000 here. It's terrible.
It's terrible. I don't know how they can get away with it. It is criminal, you know? It's over the top. And if you're diabetic, you know, if you have to have medication, it's ridiculous in how you have to have, you know, medication like metformin. I was reading on that. I don't know if this is true. I just was talking.
Oh, it looks like Sherry's call just dropped, so hopefully she'll call back. But yeah, I mean, healthcare in this country is absolutely ridiculous. We can't afford to take care of ourselves unless you have a lot of money and even insurance. And at one point, I did not have insurance, and I was going to get on this Affordable Health Care Act. And so I was looking at the plans on the Affordable Health Care Act, and they covered virtually nothing. I mean, it was something ridiculous, like 10 to 15%. And the premiums weren't cheap at all. It was highway robbery. How is that helping people?
Oh, my.
It was ridiculous. I laughed how terrible that was. The only good thing about the affordable health care that's huge that I was able to perceive was the fact that they can't disqualify you for pre-existing conditions, which is huge because insurance companies turn people down all the time so they can't get treatment. So that was great. But in terms of the amount that you were paying for the premium and the coverage, garbage.
Yeah, like my daughter, she works internally for Apple. Her insurance just for her and her husband and her son, it's like $450, over $450 a month just to carry insurance.
It's highway robbery. Fortunately for me, I work in healthcare, and so I pay, I don't know, something about $40 a month, and it's decent insurance. I was actually surprised because of somebody I know worked at Amazon, and Amazon's medical insurance was better than mine. I didn't understand it. I was like, how is Amazon's insurance better than – I work for one of the largest healthcare systems in the country, and Amazon gets better insurance than I do?
Wow, really? That's crazy. Wow. So, Jason, you've been in the healthcare field. What's going on? Is your numbers as far as people, occupancy and everything, is it low? Is it high? Is it, you know, I'm just curious, what's the occupancy rate in your hospital and overall?
So up here in Oregon, the Northwest, I work for a large health system. And so when this COVID hit, the numbers went down quite a bit. And they went down to the point that I had to get furloughed, which I basically volunteered for and was excited about because I actually was making more money on not working than I was working. So they furloughed me for a couple months, which was fantastic. And I went back,
wonderful.
And it was still slow, but now it is ridiculously busy. I mean, the last day I was at the hospital, MedSurg, you know, where they have all the surgery patients and all the, you know, really ill people, was full completely. And the ER is just constantly bombarded with people. A lot of it's nonsense, you know, people coming in to get their stitches removed or a doctor note. Or stupid stuff, my toe itches, and people go to the ER. But it's ridiculously busy. It astonishes me. I mean, I've been to the ER a bunch, but I've gone with, you know, stuff like if my heart's not beating normally and stuff like that. But people go for the silliest things. And what's happening is we've gotten everybody so hyper aware and panicky about COVID. So Joe Schmo wakes up with a runny nose one morning and then they're freaking out they have COVID. Even the statistically it's unlikely, you know, so everybody's running to that. And now what we're going to be facing is flu season starting. And so as the flu goes around, everybody's going to think they have COVID and it's just going to create, you know, ridiculous amount of testings, and we're going to have shortages in testing media that we use for the COVID test. And we've already had periods of shortages of having the proper viral transport media for those tests. And it's going to be really interesting. They are heavily encouraging people to get a flu shot this year. I've not received one, as I've never received one in my life. I may get it, I may not, but I'm not so worried about it because we're required to wear masks. So I don't know. I just don't like the idea of getting injected with stuff. Now, I've received vaccinations for everything from hepatitis B to chickenpox because I never had that. So I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm just kind of an anti-flu vaxxer.
Right, I don't blame you. And when you read about what Dr. Mercola says about what's inside the vaccine, it's scary. It really is. You really want to inject that in your body, and you know, there's both sides. You know, what are you thinking about? Is your immune system that bad that You know, you have to worry about getting a vaccine so that you can fight it if you get it.
I read something, and don't quote me, but I want to say it's Russia was doing the vaccine stuff, trials, and people are having critical reactions to it. So when they do rush this vaccine, I'm not going to be the first in line to take it. I probably won't take it. And I work around this stuff. Mind you, I am the person, when you go in to get swabbed for COVID, somebody's got to deal with that swab, and that's me. So if anybody's going to get COVID, it's going to be me.
Wow.
But I don't want
I won't.
You know, I, yeah.
I won't get vaccine either. I just won't. Mm-mm. Why? You know, why do I want to do that? I just want to build my immune system so I keep healthy as much as I can. You know, a lot of it's common sense. You get these people that are really paranoid, you know, they're just really over the top. I know a couple people that's probably been since March to August. They've only been out of the house maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks. And then they go home and they literally Lysol their groceries for fear that they're going to catch COVID. I mean, I understand it's dangerous and everything, but, you know, you have to build your immune system and stay away from people that are sick. Sometimes you can't help it, but, try and be healthy.
I'm terrible with behaviors having to reduce the risk of catching viruses. But fortunately, I have been blessed with a good immune system. Now, I think if you are not blessed with a good immune system or you're older in age, getting a vaccination is probably a really good idea. But I don't feel that I'm at risk of serious complication. I had, kind of on the subject with the viruses, I had an embarrassing moment 2 days ago. So I picked up a couple kittens from a barn. They were like barn kittens, and they're absolutely adorable. They're super young, though. They're young to the point I have no idea what sex they are, but they're so adorable. They crawl all over you. And so they're just kind of, they've only been here for a day or so. So they're still in the adjustment phase, but they're eating, they're drinking, they're using the litter box and all that. I had to buy a ton of supplies for these kittens because I had nothing, you know, litter box, food, toys, all this kind of stuff. So I went to, it was a Petco or PetSmart, and I just go in there and I'm shopping in there for like 20 minutes. And then I just realized I'm not wearing a mask. I was like, oh my God. Nobody came up to me, said anything. And I was like, oh, this is so embarrassing. I'm like the only person in the store. But I kind of understood why nobody would want to, you know, mention anything to me. I'm a big, scary looking guy. So probably nobody wanted to poke the lion, so to speak. And I immediately noticed that, and I pushed my cart to the front of the store, and I made a beeline out of there, grabbed a surgical mask from my car, and went back in. But I was kind of embarrassed that I was walking around without a mask. Sometimes I forget. I've had a couple times at the hospital where I go to lunch, I take my mask off, and I'm working for 2 hours without a mask. And, you know, the nursing supervisor comes by and's talking to me. And I'm like, oh, great, I'm going to get in trouble. Of course, nobody says anything. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things. We've been doing this for a long time, but you just, I mean, at least for me, I kind of just have brain farts every now and then.
I forget going in the store. You would think since March you would have a system down. But I go out, I go from the car, and oftentimes, I have to remind myself, and oftentimes I go out, I have to go backtrack and go get my mask on. It's crazy.
Yeah. I go to some businesses, like bars. I don't drink, but they have the machines to play in there. And you're supposed to be wearing masks, but I've noticed that people just don't wear them. I mean, they walk in with one on, and then they take it off. And I've seen people just pull their mask, you know, below their nose, and they're hacking, coughing. And I'm just like, oh, God. People are just tired of this whole thing. And you know what? I don't blame them, but I think it is incredibly wise to continue to wear a mask.
Especially if you're sick. There's people that go in, like you said, hacking and coughing. Why are they in public in the first place? You know, just crazy. There's no consideration, no respect. Stay home. Have somebody else go to the store with you. Don't expose other people. It's bad. So you got two new kittens. How old are they?
That's a good question. I have no idea. If I had to throw out a number, I would say maybe 6 weeks.
Oh, that's cute. Now, I'm going to ask you, how's your dog? Did you get your dog?
I did not get a dog. I'm going with cats just because of my lifestyle. I don't have the energy or anything else to deal with a dog. I may get a parrot down the road, but for now I think I'm good with adorable little kitties. I mean, they're young enough to the point they're not super coordinated. So, you know, they're kind of stumbling.
Oh, you got two of them.
Two of them.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Two black kitties. I originally just wanted one, but I thought, you know, I didn't want to traumatize by just taking one. So that they, you know, they can have a companion.
Exactly. That's perfect. I'm proud of you. Congratulations. Yeah, knowing you, Jason, with your lifestyle and everything, a dog would be high maintenance. Too high maintenance in your life right now in your stage where you're going at. You know, you couldn't take off. You have to go. Well, you could, but you'd have to make an extra arrangement to either have somebody sit the dog or take it to the kennel or, you know, something, and you have to worry about it and this and that and everything. But with your lifestyle, yeah, cats are easy. And then if you decide you want to get a cat door, then you can install a cat door where they can come in and come out. You don't have to go and open the door and close the door. That's what happened with Meow Meow when I had a cat before I got my dog at the pound, is that my husband put two cat doors, and the cat was able to get in and out whenever he wanted to.
Yeah, these are going to be indoor cats. I live in a three-story house, so, which I should say I own. So there's plenty of room. It's not like I'm stuck in an apartment or anything.
Exactly. Oh, wow. Three-story house like me. That's a lot of room.
Well, you know, it's only two bedroom, two and a half bath, but the lowest level is pretty much the garage and the access to the backyard and storage, and then the center second floor is living room, kitchen, a half bath, and then the top floor is two bedrooms, a nook, and you know, master bath, walk-in closet, and then an entirely other full bath.
Excellent. Well, if I'm ever in that area and I need a place to stay overnight, I'll hit you up, Jason.
Yeah, I got a spare room.
That's perfect.
Which, incidentally,
as long as it's not haunted.
No, I have not detected any paranormal activity here. No, that's not true. Wait, something did happen. So, you know, since it's a paranormal show, I'll just throw out a paranormal nugget right now. And I think I might have mentioned this previously, but I know you haven't heard it. So one night, my girlfriend sat up. I was sleeping. And she looked towards the room, and there was a red mass just inside of our room. And she was, like, staring at it. Like, what is a red mass? like a red cloud or something. Now, maybe she was having some hypnagogic hallucination, but it kind of, honestly, it kind of creeped me out a little bit, because the last thing I want is, you know, red clouds, masses, shadow figures, whatever it is, hanging out in my bedroom.
That's interesting. I've never heard of a red mass, M-A-S-S. I've never heard of that. I've heard of black or white, but not red. That's interesting.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I said I've never heard of a red mass before.
Maybe it's aliens. I'd rather it be aliens. I, well, no, that's terrifying too. I take that back. I don't know. Maybe she was imagining it. But she was sitting here looking at it. It wasn't a situation where she was like, you know, just glanced, oh, what's that? And then it disappears. I mean, it was like floating inside the room.
Huh. Interesting. I'll have to ask Joel and find out if that's a possibility, what he's experienced or knows anything about that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Wow. Was she let me ask. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Was she conscious? Or was she half asleep?
She said she was. I mean, I think it was a situation where she woke up and then saw it and then sat up and was staring at it. So it could be a hallucination. You know, that stuff happens, which
okay.
It probably was. I don't get a vibe at all of any spiritual activity here whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, you know, I'm Mr. Skeptical, but I have good spidey senses. And because I've gone to places where you walk in and you can just tell that's haunted, but I don't get that here.
Yeah, you'll know if it gives you the creeps or not. Well, it's even like the basement you've been living in for so long, even after we started, you know, I started coming on board, and you always had a sense of something in that corner and by the closet that was all, you know, really weird and, you know, kind of made you uneasy. You just didn't want to go there, which I don't blame you.
And it wasn't just me, because a repair guy came out and went down there in the same corner. I said something was in the corner, and this is before I even moved there, and he refused to do work there. So he sent something there too. And, you know, there was stuff would fly around down there, and I just tried to ignore it, you know. There was a hammer once, I've mentioned this before, there's a big fridge, not in my portion of it, but just outside where my room was. And it just randomly, I just heard something fall. I'm like, what's that? And then it's in the middle of the floor out there. And then my girlfriend got pegged with a piece of gum out of nowhere. And just weird stuff has happened. I've had like stuff sitting on a shelf above my bed that's been sitting there for like a year. It's never fallen off. And I'll just be laying there, not moving at all. And then it just falls on me. I mean, it was weird. Oh, and something touched my girlfriend there. I tapped her on the shoulder, or I think it was grabbed her neck or something like that. So there was something going on down there. But here where I'm currently at, no, I don't get that at all.
Not at all. I get a sense, remember, I don't know if I told you that, but I get a sense it's a male figure down in your basement there. Somebody that's been there, part of been in the house, part of the house. You know, just there's, just kind of wanting, kind of bantering with you. That's all, you know. I know it's male. No doubt about it. It has definitely male energy. Definitely.
We knew nobody died in the house because the lady I lived with's father built it. But I'm sure there was something there before there. I didn't get the impression that it was something that would harm me. I didn't get that vibe. The vibe I got was, and the energy that I was putting out was, okay, this is my space, leave me alone, and you can have your space, and I'll leave you alone. So whenever I walked by, I didn't even look at it. I was like, I would not acknowledge that energy that was over in the corner, and I would do my thing. But every once in a while, something weird would happen.
Oh, man. Yeah, it got your attention many times, huh? Oh, wow. That's crazy.
I didn't think it was out to get me or anything. Now, I've walked in places before that were just outright uncomfortable. Just the energy there was like, I've been to places where it was like, I could never live here because of the energy there. I didn't get that vibe. It was a little bit different.
But there's a lot of bad things that have happened. You know, I like my mom. I'll never forget this. And I grew up knowing my mom was a very spiritual person. She wasn't religious, but she was very spiritual. And she told me as I was growing up, she says, if I ever found out that the house was haunted in any way, shape, or form, which meant in what she thought was like, you know, homicides or shootings or, you know, suicides and things like that. She goes, I would never live there. I would absolutely not live there. And she said she would, you know, pay attention. She will not go there. So it's kind of like, okay, Mom, thank you.
I mean, I would avoid that too, but I had run into that situation where I moved in just after somebody committed suicide and I stayed in his room. In fact, it was so soon after he killed himself, he blew his head off with a shotgun right in front of the lady that was living there. Like, I mentioned this a long time ago, but I'll retell the story just for storytelling purposes. So a friend of mine that used to work at my dad's hotel lived in a double-wide trailer. This is actually where all the UFO stuff started. But you have to listen to a past episode to hear all that weirdness. He was a young guy, and he lived with her in this double-wide trailer. And I don't know, something was going on with him. I don't remember what she said. So she had this shotgun, Remington 870 Express, and she's sitting in the living room reading a book, and he comes out with the shotgun, and so she takes the shotgun away from him, and she unloads it, you know, so make sure there's no shells in it, and she puts it back in her room. So he comes out a time later, stands right in front of her, you know, within a few feet, turns the shotgun on himself, and just blows his brains off right there in front of her. And when I moved in, you could still see the buckshot in the ceiling. And there was a bookshelf there. And I remember moving some stuff, and there was part of his brains were attached to something that was on there. I can't remember what it was. So they didn't do a great job cleaning up anyway. But I didn't get any weird ghost vibe. There was I don't remember anything like paranormal happening. But I can appreciate somebody that doesn't want to live in a house where that's happened, because you just never know what that triggers.
Exactly. And the energy left behind. You know, they were probably in so much pain that they felt like there was no out, so they did.
Yeah, and that old friend of mine, it really did a number on, you know, in her brain, having to witness something like that so close with somebody that you know, that you're friends with. And it took her, you know, a few years to kind of process that, because it was that traumatic.
Yeah, that traumatizing. She probably I bet you she'll never forget it until she goes, you know, until she crosses over. It's just something that you don't normally, you know, that traumatic is something that you can't process that in a good way. Very, very hard, especially a friend, and seeing that something tragic like that I can't fathom. Yeah. Years and years of therapy, probably. That's crazy. Yeah, there's a place in Japan where I don't know what the Japanese name is, but they can't sell them. They can't rent them out. I don't know if it's part of the culture, but if you rent a place or buy a place and they find out somebody died there, they're just left alone. They're left abandoned. People in the Japanese culture don't want to go and live in the places. They clean them up as much as they can, but oftentimes whatever stigma or belief or cultural or superstitions or whatever, they don't like inhabiting places that they know have horrific death.
I don't know this for a fact, but I know that I think the Japanese have they have a very interesting long culture, and a lot of culture having to do with spirits and past loved ones and stuff like that. And then, you know, they have the suicide forest there, the Yakuza, I can't pronounce it, or I don't even know how to say it, but it's that forest below Mount Fuji that people, lots and lots of people go kill themselves. They go off the trail, and it's a vast forest, and people find bodies all the time hanging from trees. And
that's what I do. You're right. And I've seen it. I've seen it on YouTube. Somebody went in and actually filmed on location. It's creepy. It's absolutely creepy. The vibe you get from that is just not like a beautiful, peaceful forest. This is like the energy, the residual energy is creepy. Absolutely. You just get weird vibes from that place.
And you know somebody's killed themselves there because you pull into the parking lot and there's a, you know, you see cars with their tires half flat that, you know, have been sitting there for a long time. And, you know, there's a body out there, but it's a crazy place. What's that?
You would think that the police will tow the cars away.
You would think there are people that go out there. I don't know if they're employed for the government, but they periodically go out there to look and collect for the bodies and stuff like that. But people still run across residual things. You know, you get off the beaten path, and a lot of these people, they camp out there. That's kind of the impression I got was a trend. People don't just walk out there with a noose and hang themselves so much. It's like the people go out there with camp gear, so when other people go out, you know, they find the body or they find evidence of it, you know, the noose hanging from the tree. But they find a lot of personal effects, and they find abandoned campgrounds. You know, there's the tent, there's some personal belongings, and, you know, there may or may not be a body nearby. But I don't know, it's a crazy place. I wouldn't want to be out there at night. I mean, I'm Mr. Skeptical, but I'm not stupid either. So, but there's a lot of places around the world that are kind of like that. I mean, you have in the U.S., you have the Golden Gate Bridge, which, I mean, tons of people jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, and it's really heavily patrolled now, and people watch it with cameras because, you know, people left or right are just jumping off the bridge. What a way to go. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And there's actually a really good documentary on it that actually shows some of the videos of the jumpers, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's fascinating and sad at the same time. And every once in a while, somebody jumps and survives, and you hear their story and everything. And,
oh,
I don't
my
know.
God. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, there's all kinds of places like that, you know. But, yeah, especially if you survive. Boy. Oh, wow. Yeah, boy. So, anyway, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, you just have to wonder if there is residual stuff left behind from that, you know, if you have a location that has a lot of activity like that, lots of suicide, it makes you wonder if those areas can have a lot of residual activity. And I've never been to a place that I'm aware of that has had a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, I've never, but I wouldn't be surprised if there are places, like you said earlier, you know, there are places that are have residual energies and things. That's crazy. Wow.
You know what would be a really... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jay. I've been on my third case probably about a couple months ago. I just got done with my third homicide case as a psychic medium. I don't know if I shared that with you.
No. What happened with that?
Yeah, I was pretty good. Got some closure, bring some closure with the detectives and all the families that are looking for answers. Very helpful. Very, very helpful. I get some people that ask me, hey, can you what about the Lacey Peterson case, or, you know, the girl that went missing? And I tell people, I said, you know what, I will not read people without any permission. Something like that, I want to make sure I have permission, full permission with the families that are involved and also the detectives. Will not even read, won't even open that door unless I have full permission. because out of the respect and privacy of the family and the detectives that are working on the case, whether it's a new case or a cold case, I want to make sure I have full permission for that.
So how do the detectives treat you? Do they just kind of give you a side eye, or are they receptive?
No,
I would imagine
pretty receptive. They want to know what my take is. So basically what the detectives are looking for is just the facts, just like you go to the judge, you know, the courtroom. They're just looking at facts, and I don't know anything about the case, but when I see a person, you know, when I open that door and look at a person, then I'll start getting images and seeing them and messages and, you know, places or, you know, dates or things like that. So, you know, it's kind of like, have you ever seen, I'm sure you've seen that, is Dead Files with Amy Allen?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the only thing different is she goes with people that are the dark side. What I do is just go on the lighter. They, you know, not so much dark, but they want answers. What happened to this person? Why did this happen? Blah, 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 blah. You know, location. You know, helping the families bring closure. You know, those kind of things. But, you know, I'm not a physical medium, so I'm glad I'm not, because I don't want to feel the experience of that person. But it's interesting where you can, you know, extrapolate facts. You know, hey, this person had TB. They died of this, and they can tell you exactly how they felt, who the people, who, you know, what kind of people did they run into. Sometimes I will get names, sometimes I don't, but you know, they'll get the picture. So they just—it's like a big puzzle, and they're trying to pull all the little pieces together and trying to, you know, understand the situation. Very interesting. I was very nervous the first time, but it was really cool. Very, very cool.
It sounds really interesting. With any of those cases, were you able to actually come up with facts that were validated?
Mm-hmm. That's what they do. That's why they want to hire me. Is that way they want to go and get some information. You know, they want to go for, you know, is it person Ashley was, you know, shot? Was this a possible, was it a suicide and it was a cover-up? Those kind of things. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why they have me. They want to find out what's going on. All I need is the first name of the person, and I just tap right into the soul of that deceased person, and then I go from there.
Very cool.
Dead or alive, it doesn't matter. I've been doing it for so many times, it's not even funny. Yeah, it's crazy. But I don't work unless I'm asked to, and I don't read people unless I'm asked to. You know, for me, it's all about discipline, having that gift, but being able to be responsible and being able to enjoy my life in third dimension. If I were to check you out, Jason, I don't think that would be cool. To me, it's no control, not having control. But also, it's having respecting you as a person, as my friend, without having your permission. That's not cool. You know, you want to be able to control those things. So, yeah, that's what I do. When I'm ready to read, I open the veil and, you know, dead or alive, animals or not, you know, I just kind of tap in. I'm a medical medium.
Well, you don't.
So. Go ahead.
You don't want to read me because I'm a mess, so. If you read me, you'd probably be like, get in your car, go to the emergency room.
Aren't we all? Oh, man, we're put on this planet to go and live some life lessons and get some lessons and learn and grow and share and, you know, gather some wisdom. But, you know, if we didn't have any problems, we wouldn't be here, wouldn't we?
Well, I just would like my life lessons to consist of fame and piles and mountains of money. That's what I want my lesson to be.
But you need to be happy, too. You want to be happy.
You know, it would make me happy not having to go to work anymore. That would make me happy.
Oh, knowing you.
Yeah. You know, when I say that, it makes me a little nervous because I know how the universe works. So when I didn't want to catch shoplifters anymore, I was constantly thinking, God, I don't want to work here anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of catching thieves. So what happens? I break my ankle really bad, have to have surgery, which facilitated a career change. So when I say to myself, God, I wish I don't have to work, it kind of makes me nervous because I'm afraid, oh, I'm going to get in a car accident. I'll be paralyzed. And then I'll just kind of giggle, oh, I brought it on myself. I manifested me not having to go to work. But it's not because I got rich. Or, you know, it's because I'm going to get maimed or something to where I can't work. You know what I mean?
I don't wish that upon you. That's going to happen. Well, you want a comfortable life and being happy and being at peace with yourself. You know, money does help, but, you know, having all the money, it doesn't buy you love. It doesn't buy you friendships. It doesn't buy you loyalty. You know, it really makes your life so much easier, you know, than living in poverty, but it's not the answer. You want to have a balance of everything that you want, body, mind, and spirit. So you can have all the money in the world and have, you know, no job and everything, but if your health is really crappy, then how is your quality of life? You know what I mean? So you got to look at it in that perspective. How are you, you know, again, body, mind, and spirit? You want to be pretty close to, if you can, being close to healthy as much as you can, and healthy in body and mind, and working towards being happy.
I'll buy all that. Oh, no. Yeah, well, yeah, they will. But I'll buy all that. I'll buy the latest treatments, most expensive therapies. I'll get the most expensive psychiatrist for my mind. yeah.
You'll have a yacht. And an
oh my God!
Ride.
Yes, I will have a not just a yacht, a mega yacht, and I'll have my own tropical island, and I'll have my own personal physician that's with me 24/7, in case I have a medical emergency. And on my massive mega yacht, I will have a operating theater, full, you know, equipment, diagnostic equipment. It's going to be amazing. That's what happens in my fantasy world.
Me, I want to rescue animals. I want to rescue animals. Yeah, I'm a big proponent. Some people are into old people. Some people are into children. Some people are, you know, just into different things. But for me, I'm a big proponent of animals, cats or dogs. And if you ask me, am I a cat person or a dog person? I'm both. I'm one of these weird people. I'm both. I like them both. I don't have one or the other. They're so different, but I love them both. I had a cat before I adopted my dog at the pound. So I love both. I would have both if I, you know, had more time, but I don't. So yeah, it tugs on my heartstrings, animals.
So I want to say one thing. We're almost out of time, but you mentioned dog adoption and I commend you for that. But I have a new-ish pet peeve regarding adopting animals. Now, as you know, okay. I'm not a big fan of dogs, but I decided, you know, having a dog would be cool. You know, because I think I would like a dog if I had a dog. I just don't have a dog, so I don't have that experience. Never had that connection. But the one thing, because I was looking, you know, I'm looking on Craigslist, and I'm looking at all these adoption agencies. And the process to adopt, in a lot of cases, or all the cases that I saw, is ridiculous, and it's restrictive, and it kind of irritates me. And I've heard other people's stories about it. Like even the CEO of the ASPCA or something was having trouble. And so I know I'm not the only person on the planet that's complaining about this. I know they want these animals to go to good homes, but it seems overly restrictive. So what you have is you're so restrictive at adopting these animals, but these animals could be going to good homes, you know what I mean? And they're just sitting around and piling up because these stupid organizations can't find a decent medium. And, you know, they create these bureaucracies and processes that are restrictive and long. And it just irritates the hell out of me.
Jason, what do you mean by that? Because I've been asked. I mean, I had Jing from Bonnie Hayes, and it was pretty straightforward, so it must have changed in the last seven and a half years, or almost 8 years. Can you tell me what do you mean by restrictive and the bureaucracy of adopting? What do you mean by that?
So when I was going to adopt a parrot, and it was reasonable. The process was you fill out your online application, a meet and greet. If it goes good, you take the parrot. That is completely acceptable. But what I was seeing was things like intrusive applications. They are restricting people based on people have been restricted because of their age. They've been restricted because of where they live. And, you know, they want to know everything about you. It's like total big brother. There are places that are flat out state that once they receive your application, you might not hear for a couple weeks or something like that. There's in-person interviews, phone interviews, meet and greets, and just all this stuff that prohibits and delays animals from going to good homes. And
big amount. I think that you would be responsible if you had a, you know, like the one I follow. I forgot the name. They travel to Oregon, Texas, Chicago, all over. I know the gal that runs it because she was one of my sponsors on a Paws in the Grove when I created that event, the Doggy Dash and Pet Fair, for 2 years. And it's interesting because her place is really straightforward. She just, like you said, she just wants to meet the family. You have the money, and she doesn't get bad vibes out of you. You're going to pay a lot. You're going to pay $450, I mean, for an adoption, but which covers a lot of things, you know, neutering and everything else in their time. But when you're talking about your age or where you live and things, isn't that kind of discriminatory? I mean, that's kind of, to me, it's over the top.
Yeah, I mean, so basically, because of this, it's kind of expensive to adopt, and you have to go through all this processes. And if you want a dog now, you know, the delays and all this nonsense. And what it does is it drives people like myself to Craigslist. I can go on Craigslist, I can get a dog, pay half as much, and get it that day. So why should I be motivated to go through all this bureaucracy, you know, and stuff, and pay more to adopt a dog? And honestly, a lot of those animals have issues because they've been neglected and abused. I just think that these organizations should do an acceptable thing, like with my bird rescue online application. You know what they do? They Google your address and see what kind of house it is. That's what that guy did. You do a meet and greet, and if it's a fit, you pay, and that's completely reasonable. But
yep,
these other places
exactly.
are just ridiculous.
Wow.
Anyway, it was pissing me off. It's basically the reason I even brought this up. It was seriously pissing me off because I was like, why is this so difficult? And then I Googled it. Why is it so difficult to adopt an animal? And I wasn't the only one that thought it was ridiculous. So...
So,
that's why you have people
wonder,
going to Craig's?
Yeah, and you wonder why they can't get rid of these dogs, because they're getting too picky.
That's exactly what it is. They're too picky.
And they're not. They're biting their nose to spite their face. That's what it is. They're not doing the dog injustice. Every time a person is applying for a dog and they see him and they're great, you know, it's none of their business how much their income is. It's none of their business whether they have a house, as long as they have a warm home and you know that the dog is compatible with the owner and they're going to get along and that kind of thing. Who cares? You know, it's none of their business. Like you said, it's Big Brother. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for bringing awareness on that. I didn't realize how bad it was getting.
Yeah, they're like, your backyard's not big enough. No, we can't adopt you because you're in an apartment. So explain to me why you can't adopt somebody that has a dog in an apartment. I mean, if they pay the fees and all this and it's in accordance with the apartment and it's not a dog that's, you know, going to bark all night long or maul small children, why can't you adopt a dog, you know, like that? I mean, anyway. I could go on for hours about this because it really irritated me.
I know.
So, you know, I
feel the same way.
I could have adopted a cat.
Exactly.
I could have adopted a cat and gone through this whole mess that would probably take weeks and filled out intrusive applications, home visits and meet and greets and all this. But no, it's a lot easier for me to go rescue a couple barn kitties, and they didn't cost me anything. Well, they eventually will, because I'll have to get them spayed and neutered. But anyways, okay, I'm shutting up on that. I'm gonna get your, my blood pressure's up. We gotta go anyways.
Don't worry. Hey, you rescued two kitties, and that's a present. That's a gift to you.
Yep.
Hey, everybody, thank you for listening to Paranormal Horizons, and we will be back. Jason and I will be back next week.
Absolutely, and yeah, the format is, you know, we're just going to talk about whatever because we can. And hopefully that's at least mildly educational or entertaining.
Right, exactly. So, but yeah, thank you, Jason. That's back, and we'll see you next week. In the meantime, during the week, be safe, be happy, and be well.
Absolutely. We'll see everybody next Sunday, 7 p.m. West Coast time. And if you haven't, give us a like on Facebook, on Paranormal Horizons on Facebook, and enjoy some of the ridiculous memes we post. We got to get that Facebook page fired up again because it's been kind of dying, going from reaching millions, literally millions of people a week, to only 137,000 this last week. So we got to keep that fired
wow.
up. And with that, I know, we got to get that Facebook
we'll
fired
do.
Up again. All right,
yeah,
we'll see
we
everybody
will.
Next week.
All right.
Good
take
night.
Care, everybody. Okay, bye-bye.